build a high-performing culture? This is Culture Architects. Candid conversations with extraordinary leaders sharing their biggest successes, failures, and lessons learned on their culture journeys. Here's David J. Friedman.
Welcome back to my conversation with Mark Beata, the founder and chairman of Beata Home Healthcare. In the first part, we talked about the beginning of Mark's career and how he grew his initial vision into an international company driven by his intentional culture, the Beata Way. In this part of our conversation, Mark and I are going to talk about how he further developed the Beata Way and fully integrated it into his fast-growing company. So, for the benefit of our audience, because most people won't know this, the story of after you created the Beata Way, I remember that you had your bus and you did tours all over the country.
Yes, yes.
So that's a good story. So to share with our audience. So you now have the Beata Way. First time you've documented fully all the things that can be memorialized and create this legacy. Now you got to share this with the whole company.
Yes.
So let's talk about how you did that.
Okay. So we had, I think it was 168 offices, but I remember now. So I decided that we would have to go to introduce it and talk about it at each location. So, let's buy a big motorhome. And so it was 38 foot with Beata Way on the side. And we went to each offices in multiple trips, like we went out, but it took like from October to April. But we ended up going to Florida. We went to Arizona. We went to all the local offices. We went to North Jersey, went to up in Massachusetts. So we went all over. Yeah. And it was great. We go into an office and then they started, who could do the next thing? When they welcome us, they would be there dressed up and cheering. And then we would have a little session. We had a little video. We had to describe it and we'd have a little conversation. What does the Beata Way mean to you? So the whole, we did it in learning through personal reflection. And so it was learning through, we didn't preach that to them at all. No, we just, how does this sound to you? Do you feel these things? And then people start talking about themselves and how they get meaning from helping the clients. And yeah, most people, one other thing about developing the Beata Way. At first I thought, oh my God, if we ask somebody for their opinion, we'll have 1,000 different opinions. It'll be a Tower of Babel. This is going to go south quickly. Mm-hmm. Actually, it was the opposite. Everybody came together. Most people believe in this, the connecting spirit of love. They kind of experience it. They feel it. They think it's idealistic. They're anxious. Sometimes it doesn't exist, but they feel it. And because they do, they understand the idea of good work, excellence, and reliability. People can trust you. So it actually brought people, they converged, which
coalesced.
Yeah, which really said the universality of the proper spirit, universality of love and service to others. Mm-hmm. And not necessarily for everybody, for mm-hmm. people to do. It clicks. So
and to your point that with it documented, you are attracting people for whom it clicks.
Exactly.
And if it didn't click, you wouldn't join the company. You'd go somewhere else.
Yeah. Well, some do, but you always get people to join in for other reasons. But we have to keep it's like Studs Terkel, the true believers. Mm-hmm. You have some that are like there, so come along for the ride. Do you know what he means? Right. Yeah, but we're hopefully people feel good that we're doing this for an important reason for our community and for people.
For
individual families. Yeah. It kind of keeps us going. It's nice.
So let's talk about, you created the Beata Way, you got the mobile home painted with the Beata Way and you're going to all these offices. And so now as we fast forward, Beata Way has become pretty ingrained in all and everything that you're doing. You have an annual awards program.
Yeah, we just had it last week.
And that ties into the Beata Way, doesn't it?
We're unusual that we have like all the managers every year get together. We just had one last week, which is after the last one before that was 2019 because of COVID. Mm-hmm. And it was in Washington, D.C. And so we had about 2,500 people there. But the whole thing is based on honoring, recognizing people who really make manifest the Beata way. So we have years of service, 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, and 35 and 40 this year. We had a 40. Mm-hmm. We had heroes of the year, our nurse heroes, our aid heroes of the year. Then we have special awards for people, nurse manager, client service manager, and support people. But the whole spirit is one of coming together, celebrating the Beata way, celebrating the work we do, refocusing and connecting and thinking in the future, we're at the, you know, at leaving to help more people. So it's very positive, very positive. Mm-hmm. Not many companies are doing that kind of stuff.
Yeah. So I know in the last several years, you've begun to talk more about, and I think take action about, but you can tell me, about ritualizing some of this. And so creating a more of a I believe that your son, David, will talk about that, has taken on some of taking one of these principles each week and ritualizing it. How is that going?
It's good. It's called the key action of the week. Okay. Under each of the values on the Beata way, there's five key actions. Okay. So like under compassion, be friendly, let our smiles be seen and felt. Let me give me something. Reliability, be creative, flexible, and determined. Get the job done for our clients. So each one, this week's came out Monday, is listen closely. This is my favorite, by the way. Listen closely, show empathy, and respond to the needs of others.
Okay. So right? Each week you're focusing on one of these key actions.
And then Thursday morning at 8:30, at all the offices for 15 minutes, they discuss it.
Right.
So generally there's, you know, some time changes occasionally, but once a week it's the key action. And then there's a little discussion guide that comes out, but it's kind of opens up and people talk about their own experiences, how it relates to them. They honor somebody who may be shown that they've done this. So every week we're talking about, we're cycling the 15 key actions. Yeah, it's been working out great.
And so what have you noticed, if you can say, I mean, I know you're at headquarters, but perhaps what's bubbled up in terms of how has this shift to now focusing on one a week and not just having, here's the whole Beata way, but now we're taking one at a time. How has that impacted people's practice, the Beata way, do you think?
Well, it keeps it present. Mm-hmm. You can't take everything at once anyway. Right. So, it's kind of a little aspect of it that you can reflect on individually and as a group. Can we do, I mean, it's like virtue, vice and virtue, intentionally trying to be better at being friendly, intentionally trying to be better at determined to get something done when somebody needs you. If you needed care, oh my God, we have to, what can we do to get it to David faster and better? Mm-hmm. Right. So, I mean, I think our life should all be about how can I intentionally improve myself and the what I do and the world around me to make it a better place. I mean, we are the beneficiaries of people who've done that for hundreds of years. I mean, this right. I mean, all there are people that came before us, and we have a duty to keep it rolling forward, do our part. Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about that. So you have recently gone through two major transitions. So one is transition of you being at the top of the food chain to your son. So tell me about how that took place and what's the impact of that?
Okay. So when I was 70 in, I'm 74 now. So 2017, I decided, well, it's time to keep the succession. It's time to retire. So my son, David, had been working like 10 years and multiple positions. Mm-hmm. And so I became the chairman and we appointed David the president. And so now actually the other related thing that was the change too, is we went to nonprofit.
I was going to ask about that next. So let's start with the transition from you to David, and then I want to ask you about the transition to nonprofit.
So then I had to step back and be the chairman so that give him the space to really handle the responsibility. And I did it so I wasn't kind of looking over his shoulder.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And has the, how has that adjustment for you been?
Well, now, it's fine. I'm kind mm-hmm. of watching over. We've formed a board. We have 10 trustees. They all have to sign a document that they're agreeing to follow the Beata way. It's called the donor's intent. They'll never sell the company. So they're mm-hmm. all, because they're the governance. They're the keepers of the Beata way on a long-term basis. So we have to make sure that they're bought in here. So far, so good. The company weathered COVID. Dave is doing a good job. So it's nice to see that I have a good successor. Because a lot of times there'll be someone like me and never gets a successor. It gets a successor that doesn't work out. Oh my, right?
Yeah.
So
let's talk about you made this decision to go from this private independent company that you owned to making it a nonprofit. That's a pretty unusual move. So what was the thinking behind that and why did you do that?
Well, first I read this, right? So now that we adopted it, I have to be true to it, or I don't have any integrity. I didn't do it for others. They did it for mm-hmm. us, all of us, right? Mm-hmm. So it says leave a lasting legacy. Whoa. So that really has a lot to do with who owns the place, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So I started looking at companies that have lasted a long time and those that haven't, and ownership around that. So family companies, and I did this talking, I have five children, David's mm-hmm. one of five, and me and my wife. So we had family conversations. It wasn't just me alone about how family businesses work on a long-term basis. Not many make it. Like, I think it would have been fine with David, but what about my grandchildren's level or great grandchildren? Well, there's a lot of forces going on there. There's incompetence, disinterest, conflict, right? Bad decision making, and they lots of times they end up being just selling it anyway.
Yeah, very few make it to a third generation.
Yeah, they kind of sell it. So we wanted to create something of lasting value. So then I looked at other public companies. Well, public companies, they could care less about the Beata, generally speaking. Right. They're like responding to Wall Street pressure, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or private equity, they're even worse. They just want to buy you and flip you. So I looked at nonprofits. Nonprofits, well, what's left in Philadelphia? It's all the big companies, a lot of they're gone. And what's left is University of Pennsylvania, the health systems. So nonprofits last longer.
Okay.
However, their downside is they're not necessarily as innovative or growth oriented, but they do last longer. So the family had a conversation where we said, we're going to be like a hybrid. We'll be nonprofits. So at least we'll have the stability and we're not, money isn't the rule and nobody's around to sell it anyway. There's nothing to sell, right? That'll take that pressure off. But we're going to be social entrepreneurs. So we have the same pressure as a private business. We have to, any surplus, we have to invest profitably to serve more people. Because so it's self-funded social entrepreneurship rather than, but I have to get that. We're going to keep that spirit alive. Because most people think, oh, if I want to, the young people to graduate from college, oh, I want to make a lot of money. I'm going to go work for Goldman on Wall Street. And I'm not really in mission of values. And they're kind of like, I'm this year to, you know, get as much as I can. Mm-hmm. Or the other person says, no, I really want to help people. They go teach for America because they want to help kids, right? A lot of people don't know that you can do both at the same time. Yeah, that bingo, that's Beata. That people don't necessarily get it. They feel it's either or. No, we said it's mm-hmm. an alloy. It's mm-hmm. and. We're an and, right? Mm-hmm. All I do is make sure that if you can get nurses for the families in need of right now, that's a social need. And guess what? It's good for business, mm-hmm. right? So that's what we're trying to promote, this social entrepreneurship, which is growing, helping more people. And you have to be profitable to expand because you need to reinvest in new areas and new services. Yeah.
So instead of your profits going to shareholders or to some company that you might sell to, you're just going to dump those right back into expanding the number of people that you're serving.
Yeah. Actually, a nonprofit too, we actually have additional money surplus because we don't pay taxes.
Okay. So that allows you to expand further.
Yeah. We expand a little bit more. Yeah. So a lot of people think if you're a nonprofit, you're giving money away. Right. Well, we're not necessarily. We're like the hospital. We're helping people. But we're doing it with the excellence, the compassion, excellence, reliability of our work. Yeah. We're not a philanthropy. We get money from people pay us to do great work, and we do it because it's the right thing to do, and we just try to do it with a bigger heart, better and more reliably than others.
Got it. So the Beata Way, you created the Beata Way originally as a way of documenting what you were really about and perpetuating that. As I hear it, the Beata Way then even forced you, as you described, if you're really living to the Beata Way and you're not serving a different master, or if the master were serving as the Beata Way, and we want to perpetuate this, well, then shifting to be a nonprofit is the best way to perpetuate that and continue to grow.
And so the kids agree to that because it's really the normal thing is to either sell and give the money to your kids or give the business to your kids. So they agreed to, but they're involved. I mean, Dave is the president. I have one daughter who's Kelly, who's the chief compliance officer. Mm-hmm. Another one, Janice, who's in the culture end.
Mm-hmm. Right. So what's the vision? You know, you're a big thinker. We've got, you know, you went from got to be coast to coast to being got to be around the world, not yet populating Mars. So you're probably not working that one yet.
Right.
So what's the vision now of what's next for Beata?
Well, we want to continue to grow. Right. So we have all the states we're not in and the countries we're not in, and some were just embryonic. Mm-hmm. For awards weekend, we had all the internationals and it was great.
Mm-hmm. So how, of the 26,000-ish employees, how many international?
1,000.
Okay.
Yeah, 1,000. Yeah.
Unlimited opportunity to grow that.
Oh yeah. It's great. Yeah. So and I've learned from going to these countries and meeting them, the need is universal. I mean, healthcare and nursing are pretty universal in themselves. I mean, same conditions, a stroke is a stroke, no matter which country you're in. And families are families. And so they kind of work together to take care of their family members. So it's kind of universal. The culture is a little different. The payments, the biggest part of the difference is payment system. In India, there's none. And others, there's payment system, but they're rigid and particular about their particular country. Yeah. So we're trying to find some universality to it all, right? Recruiting and training are the same everywhere.
Right.
So that's what we can do. Financial recording and reporting are the same everywhere.
Right.
The type of service based on what you're getting paid for can differ. Yeah.
Have you seen, as you expand internationally, in what ways do you think the Beata Way resonates, or are there some countries where some aspects of the Beata Way are less relevant, or are you finding it to be truly universal?
It's universal. Kimmy Kim is a nurse from South Korea. She wanted to do home healthcare. She found us online, tuned into the Beata Way. And because she did that, she contacted us.
Okay.
Because she wanted to bring the spirit to South Korea. So she was here. She was for the awards weekend, and which she has, but she did it from wanting to help and serve. And she picked it up just from reading this.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So the principles are universal.
Yeah, last night we had it. Actually, they were here. We had a dinner in the office, 20 some of them, not all of them. It was traditional Thanksgiving dinner for internationals who don't know what it is, turkey and potatoes, right? And we went around the table, and the internationals, Ireland, New Zealand was there. They spoke about the spirit of Beata, how it was important. And a lot of, I don't know, home care too is a little more, is home care itself compared to hospital work is more, more.
It's intimate.
Yeah, more intimate. Yeah. There's my wife and I are watching Call the Midwife, which is a British series. Which is pretty much home care. Mm-hmm. And last night, one of the nurses there went to the hospital and was so rigid, she just went back to the community because the hospital is all about dictating the patient has no rights. You're just, you know, do this, you're going to have here. You're just like on an assembly line. Home care were responding to you. Listen closely, show empathy, and respond to the needs of others. Mm-hmm. So it's the same everywhere. Hospitals mm-hmm. are rigid. Right? Mm-hmm. The doctors just want to line you up and perform surgeries on you. Mm-hmm. Right? It's even getting worse. The specialization of medicine is, you know, nobody wants to take care of the whole problem you have. I'll just take care of your body part that I'm specialized in. So it's, yeah, GPs are gone, right?
Yeah. So as I bring us to a conclusion here, I'm going to ask you one last question, but we've got the story. So you're a youngster in your 20s. You're looking for a business where you can serve people and grow something coast to coast. You've done your research. You've identified home health care. And here we are some almost 40 years. Actually, let's say 75. So what, 47 years? So 47 years later, and you're all over the world and you've built the Beata way and you've now passed it to the next generation. And you've created through the nonprofit a way of perpetuating this vision that you had and this the spirit of the Beata way. That's an awful lot to look back and be proud of.
But that's not enough. I have a whole new vision.
All right. What's the new vision?
New vision is a global online university focused on health professions. There's a huge shortage of nurses and health professions around the world. Mm-hmm. And online education is just in its infancy. I mean, it's been campus-based for ever, and the professors can't think beyond that. So we can use, like we're doing now, mm-hmm. Digital technology to increase the number and quality of nurses and healthcare professionals worldwide. Mm-hmm. So it's a companion to Beata. Because we're also as a point of view, we want to move healthcare from facilities where they think, and the payment system thinks they're the center of the universe, and they're just surgery centers, so to speak. And nothing against them, but just they're taking a more limited view. So we have the broader view. And mm-hmm. so the training would also be educationally around our model of healthcare delivery. So I'm working on this actively. I have a little team. I'm doing this right now. We actually developed two courses already. Uh-huh. So, yeah.
Well, I certainly don't have any doubt it's going to be successful.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm worried. I'm starting this when I'm 74. Come on. But I'm in it. I'm doing it.
Well, if you're doing it, it's going to be there. Mark, mm-hmm. I really appreciate you sharing with us this morning. Your story it's an amazing one. And it's one that, to me, at least as I listen, it's an affirmation of one, the universality of values, as you've seen, mm-hmm. And the power of a vision of that to drive a workforce and to drive growth. And you've proven it can be done. And
well, thank you.
Powerful.
And you've been an advisor to us all along. So the work you've done is very, very instrumental to shape our thinking, inspiring us and kind of, showing us that all this does work. A lot of people don't invest in behaviors and virtues and relationships, but just as like when you're brought up, your mother keeps telling you every day, right? It's the same thing. You have to spread it around. There's one reason too is the formal institutions used to provide value, instill virtue and value in young people or even adults isn't there anymore. They don't go to church. Yeah. And the schools are more interested in scores than values.
There's a book that I'm starting to read. I don't know if you've read David Brooks's Road to Character. But it's, someone had shared the book with me actually a couple of years ago, and it's been sitting on my nightstand. I haven't gotten a chance to read it till recently, but it is all about, so how do you develop character in people? And a lot of what you're doing, a lot of what I'm doing, is creating a structure or a framework or a methodology to help teach, to help teach character.
Yeah, because even families, they don't have dinner together, not even spreading the virtue within their own family, like historically. So what Beata then is the part of their life where virtue, values, and good behaviors are required and supported.
Yes.
So it's at the workplace as opposed to the schools and the churches. So a lot of this is things people in past times would just learn somewhere else. Yes. And the work could just work, but you know, so it's kind of in this, every society needs the values maintained. We're just doing it at the workplace now.
Yeah. Fascinating. Well, thank you, Mark. I really appreciate you sharing with us. I know the audience will get a lot of value from that, and keep up the great work.
Thanks, David. Thanks for your encouragement. I appreciate it.
Yep. My pleasure.
And that's it for this episode of Culture Architects with my fellow culture architect, Mark Beata. If you're enjoying the show, make sure you take a second to subscribe, so that way you automatically get my new shows when they drop. And also, if you have a minute, I'd love it if you would leave us a review so that more folks like you can discover the show. I'll see you next time.
This has been Culture Architects with David J. Friedman. Join us next time for more insights and wisdom from great leaders in all walks of life. To book David for your next event, or to learn more about his writing, speaking, or consulting, go to davidjfriedman.com. Culture Architects with David J. Friedman is a production of CultureWise.